I think we're all excited for what the Lord is doing. Okay. I'm just going to open in prayer, but before we pray, Jenny came up and she gave us the heart of God. And I just want to expound on that because I just feel what has been shared here has really laid a foundation of what the Lord wants to do. And today He is equipping us. And today He wants to launch us into something that He wants to do and what He wants for us to do more of. So, you know, there's two groups here. Some that are doing the work of God, and this word is an encouragement that's going to propel you into do more of the work of God. And there's some that are waiting and not sure what they need to do, and this is going to encourage you to get going with what God wants us to do. So this word that I feel Lord has laid on my heart is to open up what this is all about. Why we come, what Jesus has done for us. And we've just prayed that Jesus has done everything for us and brought us into salvation. But I'm going to share with you there's so much more. So much more that Jesus has done for us and so much more that is waiting for us. So let's just pray. Father, we just thank You. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ, who has made a way for us, not only into salvation, but so much more. We thank You that Jesus was working before the foundations of the earth. He was preparing a way for us. He came and He died for us so that we can enter into everything that He laid hold of us for. And not only that, He continues to intercede for us and to prepare a place for it. And not only that, He's coming to receive us. We just thank You for this awesome and amazing revelation. Lord, as has been said, may our ears be opened. May our eyes see. And may we know the glory that has been laid before us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like everybody to take out their Bibles and their pens and their cokies. Because if we are extending the kingdom of God, we come here prepared to extend the kingdom of God. And part of it is when we come here is we are being equipped to go and do something. Okay. And part of the equipping, it's good to have a notebook, a Bible, a pen and a copy so that when you, from this word, God will give you more revelation so that you can take this word on. So there's not only a preach, but it becomes a life. The sermon title for today is, we are joint heirs with Christ and have received a glorious inheritance. Amen? That doesn't sound exciting now, but it is. Hopefully by the time I'm finished, you're going to be shouting and praising God. I'm going to say it again because this is who you are because of Jesus Christ. You are a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Amen. And have received a glorious inheritance. And every now and then through this sermon, I'm going to say to you, please repeat the truth. And the truth is, I'm an heir with Christ and I've received the glorious inheritance. So can we say it? I am an heir with Christ and I've received a glorious inheritance. Is that not just amazing? The main verse that I'm going to be preaching out of, we're going to go through Ephesians, but the main verse is Romans 8, verse 12 to 17. So if you want to turn on your Bibles, Romans chapter 8, verse 12 to 17. I'm reading from the ESV, and it says, so then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Okay, this comes from God. So this is a truth. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. This is from the Bible. But, and here's the good news, and this is what I want to encourage you. If by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Hallelujah. Thank You, Father. I can come into eternal life. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons and daughters of God. So I want to tell you today, you have not just received salvation, but you are a son and a daughter of the living God. Get hold of that. It's incredible. It's amazing. It will change your life if you realize that you're a son and a daughter of the living God. For you did not receive, so you've received something. Remember that? Because if you haven't, we want to pray for you. You have not received the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, which means we used to be in slavery and we used to have fear, and the rest of the world is living in this, but not us. But we have received the spirit of adoption as sons who cry out, Abba, Father. Hallelujah. Is your heart crying out to the living God saying, Abba, Father, you are my father and I am your child? The spirit bears witness with our spirit. And this is something we need to get tuned into because God's spirit is speaking to our spirit. And if he's not doing that, we want to pray for you. Because his spirit should be continually speaking to our spirit, revealing these truths to us, that we are children of God. We are children of God. And now comes the punchline. Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 17. This is the punchline. And if children, then heirs. Heirs. Heirs of God. And listen to this. This is incredible. One of the greatest verses in the whole Bible. It says, fellow, the New King James says joint, the NIV says co-heirs with Christ. Provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. And we'll get to that. So I just want to know, I can just feel the presence of God. Just, did you get that? That you are a co-heir with Jesus Christ. He's God, by the way. He created all things. He's seated in heavenly places next to the Father. And you and me are co-heirs with Christ. That is glorious and that is amazing. So just quickly, I'm going to tell you a little joke. Because I think a joke's good just to tell you where I'm going. About inheritance. You see, Chris was lying in his deathbed in Joburg, Jen. And he was about to pass away. And the nurse had been nursing him for many days. And she knew that this was his last day. So she called the family. And the family came and they came to his deathbed and they stood next to him. And he had a son and a daughter and his wife and they came there. And Chris said, my son, come over here. He says, to you, I leave the 10 houses in Craigor Park along Main Avenue, all 10 houses. And the son steps back. He says, and to you, my daughter, come here. He says, to you, my daughter, I leave the 6 townhouses in Parktown. I leave them to you. And she walks back. She says, and to you, my darling wife, she says, to you, I leave the 12 flats that overlook the Parkview Golf Course. She steps back and he passes away. And the nurse that's been nursing him says, I just can't believe that this man is so wealthy, so many properties. He didn't look like he was a man that had so many properties that you have inherited. And Kurs's wife says, my darling nurse, Kurs didn't own any property. He owns a garden service business. So back to the gospel, is we receive a real inheritance. We are actually going to walk into an inheritance that God has prepared for us. And sometimes this inheritance is so unbelievable that it doesn't sound like it can be true. Because when you study it and we understand what we are receiving, it seems too good to be true. But it's not. That is the gospel. The gospel is good news. And I'm going to tell you good news today is what we have inherited. In fact, it is so good news that the enemy would want to deceive us and deceive the world and to say your inheritance is actually not real. There is no such kingdom, and there is no such inheritance. It's all a big bang, and God is a fantasy, and this world believes it. And some of us used to believe it. I mean, I've watched many TV programs, and I've seen where people inherit things, and they inherit these amazing things, but what we are going to inherit is more awesome than anything that this world can offer us. And I'm going to get to it, because sometimes we are putting our efforts so much in this world that we're forgetting that we need to be putting our efforts into an inheritance that is everlasting. I remember Thor and I, my uncle was very, very wealthy. He's passed on, and he had many homes, and one of his homes he had this mansion in Ramsgate on the beach, and he used to sometimes offer it to Thor and I, and we used to go there with a family, and we used to drive up to this mansion, and we used to walk in and it had rooms. I mean, we could choose what room we could sleep in. It had staff that were working in the garden that used to bring us food. It had a huge kitchen. It had this lawn going onto this pool, which went onto the beach. It was a mansion that was beautiful. And I remember saying, I would love to inherit this place. Wow. I can't afford it, but I'd love to inherit it. But you see, I couldn't inherit it because I wasn't a son. When he passed on, his daughters inherited it, because an inheritance goes to a son. My parents have passed on. They didn't have much to leave me, so I didn't inherit anything from them. Don't know about you. Some of you have had parents that passed on. I don't know what you inherited. But here's the good news. The Word tells us that for those who have received Christ, if you've received Christ into your heart, you have received an everlasting inheritance. It is a guarantee and a promise from God. Salvation is just the entry. The rest of it is our inheritance. So we often forget what we have been given and what awaits us. And we sometimes go through this world forgetting this amazing thing that Jesus Christ has done for us. What we have been given and what awaits us, because that should be driving us. That should be the thing that gives us zeal and purpose in our lives. So what do we repeat? I'm an heir of Christ, and I've received a glorious inheritance. 1 Peter 1, verse 3 and 4. 1 Peter 1, verse 3 and 4. It says, blessed be the God and Father of Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope. I tell you what, if you've lost hope, if you're down, if you're sad, if you're anxious, you've lost your living hope. And I want to give it back to you today, because good news awaits you. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading is kept in heaven for you. Amazing. Why do we wake up every morning? To go and preach this gospel, to await for this, to work in it. We need to hold on to it though, because we've got an enemy that wants to take it from us. So this is a warning, is hold on to this inheritance, because the enemy is out there to distract us and to rob this inheritance away from us. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy the everlasting inheritance that is ours. Jesus gave it to us. Galatians 5, verse 18 to 21. Okay, so I'm going to give you some life principles as well here on how to hold on to an inheritance and how to enjoy our inheritance. But here's a warning. Galatians 5, 18 to 21. Underline it. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife. Strife in the home. Strife between husband and wife. Strife between employer and employee. Jealousy, jealousy, fits of anger, revelries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness. We're going into Christmas. There's going to be parties. There's going to be alcohol. Well, I want to tell you something. It says drunkenness, orgies, and the things like this. This is Paul. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So just a warning before I go into the good stuff. Those things will keep you away from inheriting the kingdom of God. Stay away from them. So this is serious. We must not take it lightly. We need to remind ourselves and learn what this inheritance is and what it means. Jenny prayed something, and I've written it here. We must contend and fight to hold on to our inheritance. Because we've got an enemy out there that wants to rob it. But we've got a glorious inheritance that has been promised to us. But you need to contend and fight to hold on to it. Because it's worth it. This inheritance that we have received is worth it. So I'd like to look at the definition of an heir. What is an heir? Because you and I are co-heirs, joint heirs, fellow heirs with, not Paul, not Peter, not James, not John, Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, the God of all, co-heirs with him. So, an heir, what does this mean? A person legally entitled to the property and rank of another person at his death. Jesus died for you and I so that we can inherit all his property and guess what? All his rank. Do you know who you are in Jesus Christ? Two, a person, this is the definition of an heir, a person who inherits and continues the work of the predecessor. So not only are we inherited or continue, we are called to continue the work of the kingdom. Okay, so are we getting it? We are heirs, we've received the kingdom, we've received the authority of Jesus Christ, but we're also called to continue the work of the kingdom. That's our purpose. That's why we come here. That's why we leave here. That's why we preach the gospel. That's why we wake up in the morning. That's why we eat. That's why we do everything we do. That's why we study the word. We are heirs of a kingdom. So we can see it's a place. We're going to inherit a place. It's a position. You have inherited a position in the heavenlies, in the spiritual realm. It's a rank, power, and authority that we have inherited. Through Jesus Christ, we have got immense authority and immense power on this earth and in the spiritual realm. Through Jesus Christ. Immense. The same as Jesus. Not under Jesus, equal to Jesus. We're not Jesus, but we're co-heirs with Jesus. But it's not only about the place. It's actually about the people, about the King of the kingdom, and about the King's Father, and about you and I. And it's about how the kingdom is run and what we can expect. Because a king determines how the kingdom is run. And I can tell you, we've got a good king. He runs this kingdom with excellence, with righteousness, with holiness. Amen. So just a little taster. Some of us are worn down. We're tired. We've lost a little bit of energy. But that's okay, because guess what? Our inheritance is glorious. And we need to keep reminding you that Jesus said, for the things that lie before me, I've endured the cross. For the things that lie before me, I endure the cross. Guys, for the things that lay before us, we'll endure this life because glorious things await us. You okay there, Malcolm? For a glass of water. All right, so let's just keep taking on this that we are hearing. Because this is revelation which God is imparting to us. Revelation 21, verse 4. Malcolm's okay? Got knocked over by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, understanding what revelation is coming, and you are an heir to a glorious inheritance. Revelation 21, verse 4 says, in this kingdom, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. I don't know about you, but I've never seen anything like that on TV. I've never seen that on any movie, in any book, that can give us this. No boss, no employee can give us this. Neither shall there be mourning. And when I say mourning, I don't mean mourning at night. I mean mourning. I mean sadness. Nor crying, nor pain. Who's in pain here today? Okay. Well, there's a glorious inheritance that you have where there will be no more pain. So endure because you will be receiving it. It's a promise that is sure. Okay? That's what keeps us going. Thank you. For the former things have passed away. These things are passing away. We're on an earth that is passing away and we're going into a glorious inheritance. Makes it all worth it. And if that's not enough, in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, it says, but as it is written, no eye has seen, our eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor has entered into the hearts of man's imagination. We cannot even imagine, with all our imagination that we have in this limited body, we cannot even imagine the things that God has prepared for those who love him. So what I want to tell you is this glorious inheritance that we are receiving, we can't even imagine, we can't even picture it. Our eyes haven't seen it, our ears haven't heard it, it hasn't even entered into our imagination. I tell you what, the enemy shows us so much things on TV and promises us so much things on this earth. They are nothing compared to the inheritance that we have received. Our eyes can't comprehend it, our ears can't comprehend it, our hearts, our imaginations can't even imagine it. How good is it? Is it worth enduring for? Is it worth pressing through for? Is it worth laying hold of? Is it worth letting go of the things of this earth that we hold so tightly onto? Because otherwise, this will be your inheritance, what you can see, what you can hear, and what you can imagine. Not that great. For something far superior. Colossians 1:13. And this is the principle here. We see two kingdoms. There's two kingdoms at work. And we can only dwell in one of them. There's no in between. We're either in the one kingdom or we've been transferred into this glorious kingdom. So a question I'm going to ask you, do you know which kingdom you are dwelling in and which kingdom you are going to inherit? Because we are inheriting a kingdom and one's not great. The other one is glorious. He has delivered us. Colossians 1 verse 13. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness, which means we're in the domain of darkness. We're all born into it. We know that through the fall. We're living in a kingdom which is filled with darkness. But Jesus Christ has delivered us and transferred us into the kingdom of light. There's a transfer. Have you taken the transfer from the one kingdom into the other kingdom? And are you living in it? Or have you received the idea of it, but you're still living in the old kingdom? Because it's possible. We can still be living in this dark kingdom, but looking forward to a glorious kingdom where it says we should be actually dwelling in it right now. I'm going to get into that when we receive this kingdom. So I'm asking you, which kingdom have you stepped into? And which kingdom have you laid hold of? And which kingdom are you living in and have received? One's glorious. So we see two distinct kingdoms. Ephesians 2, verse 1 to 3. I'm going to give you a little bit of taste of the old kingdom. The kingdom that we don't want. The kingdom that we've been delivered from. It says, and you and me, Ephesians 2, 1, 3, he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. That's the old kingdom. I implore to you, I hope you have taken the deliverance into the new kingdom, because this is what you will inherit then. Death, sin, darkness. It's in the word. It's what Jesus preached. In which you once walked according to the course of this world. So we're in this world, but we are not of this world. So we're in this world, but we've been delivered out of this world. Okay? You've got to get this principle. According to the prince of the power of the air, Satan is the ruler of this earth. This is his kingdom, and we were born into it, unfortunately, but praise God, Jesus Christ has delivered us out of it into a new kingdom, a glorious kingdom. And the spirit of the air, who now works in the sons of disobedience. So I ask you, is there still disobedience in you? Disobedience to Jesus Christ? Well, then I ask you, which kingdom are you living in? Because if there's any disobedience in you, you haven't made the full transfer into this glorious kingdom. Why would you still be living in an old kingdom when you've been transferred into this amazing kingdom? That's why Jesus came and died for us, to give us salvation into a kingdom. Among whom also we all conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh. Should be no lust of the flesh. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh. We're going into holiday season. There's going to be a lot of desires of the flesh. It's not who we are. We are of another kingdom. Let the world do that. Let them go and buy and shop and covet, get into debt, get their pleasures out of things. We've been delivered out of that kingdom into a glorious kingdom. And in their mind, by nature, were children of wrath. Okay. But we have been transferred out of it. Praise God. Who gives us this inheritance? Colossians 3, verse 23 to 24. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord, not for men. Here's another key. If you're working for men and you're trying to please man, and man governs your life, you're dwelling in the wrong kingdom. If we have been transferred into the kingdom of light, we do everything for the Lord. We serve man, and we help man, but we don't do it for man. We do it for the Lord. Our praise and our glory and our reward comes from him. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. I tell you what, a lot of us are trying to receive our reward from man. Trying to please man, get their praises, get this, get gifts. Oh, did you hear that? What did he say about me? We still got that old kingdom dwelling around us. What are we inheriting and how can we be sure of it? Hebrews 1 verse 2. It says, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, when he appointed him, this is Jesus Christ, heir of, who knows what it says, of all things. What has Jesus been given? All things, everything. Through whom he also created the world. So if Jesus Christ has been given all things in heaven and in earth, in the spiritual realm, in what we can see and what we can't see, what have we been given? All things. But yet some of us settle for a limited thing of this world that will be destroyed, and we will be destroyed with it. But yet, if we receive Jesus Christ and live according to him and according to his ways, we will inherit it, and we have inherited all things. Incredible. Guys, this is incredible. I don't know about you, but it's incredible. If you don't want to run and tell your neighbor about this, I don't know. Then you haven't realized what you've inherited. When your neighbor says, hi, how are you? She says, I don't know. Are you telling him, boy, you know what? I don't know. I'm great. I've inherited all things. I'm a co-heir with Jesus Christ. I've got a kingdom waiting for me. I'm glorious. You know, I've got, you think I've got dominion. I've got power. I've got a place. I'm looking for, I've got future. I've got a hope. Boy, I don't know. I'm great. How are you? No, I'm serious. Yeah. Supernatural. We've inherited a supernatural world. A realm that we can't even see. It's ours. And we can partake of it. Yet we settle for so much less. So it says we are joint heirs and fellow joints with Jesus Christ. That means we've inherited all things. And they sang a new song saying, worthy are you to scroll and to open it, to open the seals, for you were slain, and by blood, thank you, Jesus Christ, by his blood, you ransomed all. Jesus Christ, why do we sing and praise him and give him? Because I'll tell you why. Look what he's given us. He died for us, and by his blood, he ransomed me and you for God and from every tribe and language. So who's it for? Every tribe, every language, and every people, and every nature. And he, Jesus Christ, have made them a kingdom and priests to our God. And they shall reign on the earth. So what does that say? We have a kingdom. We are priests unto God. And we will reign on earth as he does in heaven. Guys, grasp this. Otherwise, you're living in the wrong kingdom. There's no fun in the old kingdom. In the new kingdom, it's amazing. We can do all things. So we have inherited, listen to this, we have inherited all of creation. Does that not blow you away? Little me and you, you know, worthless, worthy, got aches and pains. Yes, sometimes, you know, throw our toys out the crot. But because of Jesus Christ and our acceptance of him, we have inherited all of creation. Yeah. It is difficult to understand, so take it in. When do we receive this inheritance? Franco says now. When? Now. The moment we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and accepted him, that inheritance is ours. Transferred from the power of darkness into the kingdom of light. Just like it. Ephesians 1:11. That's why I want you to mark this in your Bible so you can go home, you can study it, and if a neighbor comes to you, you can preach this to him. Ephesians 1:11 says, in him we have. Not going to, maybe, it's we have. H-A-V-E, have. Means we've already got it in Christ. We have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. What have we received? Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places are ours. And guess what, guys? They're not only ours, they're ours to give away. They're ours to bless others. We receive the same promises that Abraham got. And God, read in Genesis what Abraham got. And it says, every nation will be blessed through you. He that blesses you will be blessed, and he that curses you will be cursed. Okay, so I just want to quickly break it up. It's a place. It's heaven. Okay, it's a spiritual realm we cannot see, but we live in it through faith. That was also brought out this morning. So through faith, we are seated in heavenly places. Okay? We haven't fully received heaven now because we still got to work here on earth, but we are going to receive it. Amen? Jesus says, in my Father's house are many rooms. I go and prepare a place for you. If it was not so, I wouldn't tell you. And I will come and receive you to myself. I will come and receive you. He's not even saying, hey, you know, when you die, poof, you'll pop up here. No, Jesus is preparing it for us. He's preparing a place. And guess what? He's so excited about it. He's going to come back to us. He's going to take us, receive us, and he's going to take us into this glorious inheritance. Jesus Christ. I tell you, next time you say Jesus, see a different picture. So it's a place. It says in Ephesians 2, and he raised us up to be seated with him in heavenly places. We are right now seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's our inheritance. We're going to be going there. We haven't fully received it, but we will. The amazing thing is, Christians, we actually die. We're dying to gain our inheritance. Yeah, we get very sad when people die. Well, I don't know. If a Christian dies, we celebrate. Because guess what? He's moving into the fullness of his inheritance. You're scared to get martyred. Maybe this will give me a little bit of courage to get martyred, because when we die, we know what we're going into, a glorious inheritance. Those of you that have been called to Iraq or Iran, we all want to go to Australia and Canada. I'm only joking. James says, listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world? Who's poor? Who feels poor in this world? Well, guess what? You've been chosen to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to those who love him. Love him. Amen. Okay. What else have we been given? Earth. Have we received earth? Is earth our inheritance? Yes. All things have been given to me on heaven and on earth. Earth, not the physical earth. We know that earth is fading away. This earth is fading away. But a lot of us are building mansions, buying up property, building up walls. You know, that's great. But don't put everything into this earth because it's fading away. Jesus says he's coming to destroy this earth and he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. Okay, we are seated in a new earth. But we have received this earth, and what have we inherited on this earth? People. People. What are we doing? We're saving people. That's our inheritance. What can we take into kingdom with us? My house? My swimming pool and my nice 4x4? No. But we can take each other into heaven. I'm going to move it. Matthew 10:7-8 says, and proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Guys, we need to be telling people the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, the kingdom of heaven is available for you. This is what you need to do. Believe in Jesus Christ. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying. Go give without pay. Our inheritance is to go and save souls, to heal the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead. It's our inheritance. And if you don't know it, you aren't operating it. Did Jesus say he's given us all authority and all power? Has he said he's given us inheritance? Well, yes, all these things come with it. All these things come with it. Heaven, earth, people, authority, position, power, rank. But we got to do it the right way. Ephesians 1:5 says, he predestined us for adoptions as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. We are adopted as sons. Go and make disciples. That's part of our kingdom, bringing people into the kingdom. That's how we extend the kingdom. You know, a lot of ways it says, yo, I'm going to go out, I'm going to extend this kingdom of God. Well, how do you extend the kingdom of God? By saving the lost. Every soul that you save takes ground on Satan's, on the other kingdom. We're bringing people out of that kingdom into our kingdom. We're extending the kingdom. That's how we extend the kingdom. Preach the gospel. Live a righteous and holy life. Extends the kingdom. Jesus said, I love this verse, Luke 19, verse 9 to 10. It's a beautiful verse. It gives you so much direction and so much purpose. Jesus said, go and do like what Jesus did. I think somebody said it. Judy actually said it in one of the morning, that we've got somebody who shows us the way, and his name is Jesus. It says, and Jesus said to them, today's salvation has come to us, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. If you are a kingdom people, are you seeking the lost and save them? Or are we just living in this world? Hey, my car, my holiday, what I'm doing, my TV, my comfort. No, I'm serious. Or are we seeking the lost, because that's who we are now? We've been transferred out of that old kingdom, all about me. What about authority and power? Matthew 28, verse 18 and 20 says, and Jesus came and said to them, all, not a little bit, not only in heaven, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And then he transfers it. He has the transfer to us. He tells us, it has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Why did he tell us? Because then he says, now you go. So he's giving that authority to you to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe what I have commanded you. So part of the kingdom principle is we teach people the kingdom ways. The earth is sin, fornication, sexuality, anger, gluttonous, drunkenness. I mean, that's what the world teaches us through TV, sex without marriage, living in the same house. That's the kingdom that, thank you, Lord, we've been purchased out of. Our kingdom that we have brought into is to obey the commandments of Jesus Christ, holiness and righteousness. Okay? We've been transferred out of that old kingdom. We don't live according to those ways anymore. Paul did it. He understood. Paul was a powerful man. He walked in the kingdom principles. In Ephesians 1, verse 18 to 20, Paul says, he prayed for people. And this, we should be praying this for ourselves, praying this for each other. Having the eyes of our heart enlightened, that you may know, and this is what I want to do this morning, that you may know, each and every one of us, what is the hope of which he has called you. You have got a calling, and you need to know what it's about. And you need to be hoping for it, and you need to be walking it. What are the riches? What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? You need to know that he's given you this amazing power and authority and an inheritance. And what are the immeasurable? Underline that. You can't even measure what Jesus has given us. It's impossible. It's immeasurable. Greatness of his power towards us who believe. How much power have I been given? Immeasurable. How much power have you been given? Are you using it? Or are you just letting it just wane and sit there and saying, oh, no. Jesus has given us immeasurable power because we've received an inheritance. What are you doing with this power that can't even be measured? According to the work of his might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him in heavenly places. And the last thing I just want to tell you is we've inherited a culture, okay, which we need to grab hold of. That's why we're here. That's why we love each other. That's why we fellowship. Our culture has changed. It's different to the old kingdom. Okay, so when you transferred out of a kingdom into a new kingdom, you take on that culture. You take on everything that that kingdom is all about. The problem is we still clothed with the old culture. If you see a Scotsman, you know what he looks like. Yeah, he's got a kilt. He's got red hair. He's tough. He's strong. Preaches the gospel. If you see a Frenchman, you can see a Frenchman. You know, he's got that little beret. And you know, if you see a soldier, you can see a soldier. You can see where somebody's from. You can see somebody that's from Lesotho. You can see somebody that's Swaziland. I can tell you, you can see somebody who's from the kingdom of God. We are clothed with righteousness. If you're not clothed with righteousness, people won't know you from the kingdom. They won't take you very seriously. Won't want to know where you're going. I mean, you see people from Lesotho, you see all this beautiful, you say, wow, where is that? What is it about? What's the traditions? People need to know that we are clothed with righteousness and they can see that we are from the kingdom. You can see people that are from the world. You can. It's all about me and I and my things and my positions and what I'm going to get, how rich I'm going to be, my fame, my culture. That's the old one that we've been transferred. Now it's all about Jesus, 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 his kingdom. Come, I'm taking you. Righteousness, holiness, live for him. And lastly, what does this mean for us? What is the application? And what is the implication? He has the encouragement. From Romans 8:17, the verse that I started with in the beginning, the last verse says, and if then heirs of God and fellow, joint co-heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him. Okay, guys, we will suffer. So part of the application and the implication is that we will suffer. Jesus never came and said, once you receive this inheritance, no more suffering. That will come when we die in this body, this tent. When we die, we'll go into this glorious place. Then there'll be no suffering, no pain, no hurt, no mourning, no crying. But for now, there is. But we look to our glorious hope. And that's what keeps us going. If we suffer with him, We will suffer. Times are hard, yeah. We're in a kingdom that is operating a lot, and we're from another kingdom. That's why we're suffering. It's like being a South African that loves the sun and the brine and everything, and we place you in England, and all you can do is stay indoors and eat maybe their food. It's not going to be nice. But it's a small immeasurable of the suffering what we are experiencing, because we know that we are glorious. And we've got a glorious kingdom and a glorious inheritance. But for now, we are in this decaying, dying world. And it suffer. And we do receive pain because our bodies are dying with this world. We're going to get a new body, by the way, a glorious body. But for now, we suffer. We suffer with pain. We suffer with hurt. Sometimes we suffer emotional pain, okay? But the good news is we can overcome. We read it. And we can be victorious. It just takes a belief in what we have and what we've done, and it takes a hope to look at the glorious future that we have been brought into, and we will overcome. Because if we overcome the suffering now, it says we will be glorified with him. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 and 18 says, do not lose heart. Okay? I've encouraged you. Jesus has encouraged us. We've got a glorious inheritance. But the reality of it is it's very difficult to live in this earth now knowing that we've got it. But the good news is go and extend it. We can. The problem is we don't maintain what we have and we don't enforce it. If I've inherited an estate and a kingdom, if I just sit in my chair, guess what's going to happen? The staff are not going to do their work. They're going to get disobedient. The grass is going to grow weeds, okay? The walls are going to start falling down. So I've received this inheritance, but I need to maintain it. I need to pick up the authority I've got and say to this servant, do this, do that. I need to tell the gardener to do this. If there's people that are coming and trespassing on my property, I have the authority to cast them out. So if anyone is trespassing in your property, in your spiritual life, in your emotional life, and in your physical life, you have the right to cast them out. Because you have inherited all things and you've inherited all power. It's just you haven't done it and you haven't picked it up yet. And you haven't realized it. It says, do not lose heart, for though our outer self is wasting away. Every day I look in the mirror, I see myself getting a little bit older. Another gray hair, another wrinkle. Don't worry. This is why. Our outer self is wasting away. Our bones do get more sore. We do fall off our chairs in the middle of a meeting. But our inner self is being renewed day by day. Hallelujah. Praise God. For the light, for this light momentary affliction. Yeah, we're suffering. Don't over like this. It's momentarily. Those of us that are suffering, those that are sick, the good news is we're going to be least of all of that. It's a promise. It's because of what the enemy has done. For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for eternity. There's a reason. It's preparing us for eternity so that we can take people through this, that we can give people hope through our afflictions and our hurts. We can take people into this glorious eternity, this inheritance that we have. Prepared us for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. This is what gets us through. As we look not to the things that are seen. Stop looking at the pains, at the afflictions, at the circumstances, at the situations. We are commanded by Jesus to stop looking at that. It's fading away. We have overcome. We are victorious. It's going to be destroyed, and we are going to receive our new inheritance. So stop looking at the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. Our kingdom in heaven, where we are seated. For the things that are unseen are transient, but the things that are unseen, in other words, the things that are seen are fading away. But the things that are unseen are eternal. And I'm closing with this scripture. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 8 to 9. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. As kingdom people, we need to have love that is genuine. Love for the Father, love for His Son, love for the Holy Spirit, love for each other, and yes, love for the lost. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, we are rich, guys. We have received all things. Don't go brag about it yet. Yes, you've received all creation, you've received heaven, you've received all power. Yet for your sake, he became poor. For the sake of others, we become poor for now. Why? So that by our poverty and his poverty, we might become rich. Amen. So I want to pray for you. One, if you feel you haven't entered into this inheritance, in other words, if you don't truly know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you know you're living in this old world, and you want to receive this inheritance and come into this glorious kingdom that Jesus has prepared for us, we want to pray for you. And two, if you feel you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you feel that you have made the complete transfer. In other words, you know, I'm seeing the kingdom, and I know about it, but actually I'm still living in this old kingdom that I have actually been transferred out of. Let's see, it says we are died to this kingdom. We die to it so that we can be reborn into the new kingdom. If you haven't fully done that or you don't fully understand it, we'd like to pray for you. Amen? So let me just pray a general prayer first, and then we're going to do that. Father, I just thank you for this revelation. Father, may we just absorb it and understand it, because these are spiritual things that we can't see, we can't measure. But in our spirit, you can show us this. Your Holy Spirit speaking to our spirits, revealing the truth of these immeasurable promises that you have given us, a kingdom that you have promised that we have inherited and that we are returning to. Father, if we have not let go of this kingdom, we want to move. We want to do the transfer. If we are hanging on to our pains and our shortcomings, if we are short-sighted and we don't realize and understand the authority that is given us, the power that we can take, the control that we can take over our own lives and even other people's lives and come into the fullness of inheritance today, then Lord, we want to pray about it. Lord, if we are suffering and we don't understand why we're suffering, to realize because of the hope that is laid before us, we have become poor so that we can bring other people, that we can identify with people and bring them into this kingdom, then help. Father, I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Lord. If you want us to pray for you, if you need to have your eyes of your heart enlightened in a full way so that you can live in this kingdom, please come to the front. Or if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, come see us in the front. Otherwise, join us for coffee afterwards, and we'll see you all next Sunday. Be blessed. Amen.